Chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Part of it is very familiar to most, to everyone. First verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speaking our tongues, the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing as it but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This shall come to pass in the last day, saith God. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. They shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. This shall come to pass that whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to look, if you will, at verse number 12. After all that had taken place, they were all amazed, these that had come from the various nations around about. They were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? I want to come back at the beginning of the story. Jerusalem was filled with Jews from the various nations around about. They come to worship in Jerusalem at the Feast of Pentecost. And on that Sunday morning, after the believers had been filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room, as we've read in that first part of that chapter, in the 11th and 12th verses, the people said, We do hear them speaking our tongues and the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed. They were confounded. They were confused. They didn't understand. And they were saying one to another, What meaneth this? And I would like to use that as a thought tonight. What does this supernatural phenomena mean? But I want to go back to the beginning of the Bible, and I want to bring out some illustrations. What meaneth this? What does all of this mean? And I would like to begin going back to the third chapter of the book of Exodus. Turn with me there in your Bibles, if you will. Exodus chapter number 3. Some time ago, I preached from this chapter how that God was calling Moses from the desert to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. And as he was talking to Moses there on the mount, when Moses said, Who shall I say sent me? And he said, Tell them I am that I am. Amen. And I want you to know tonight, he's still the I am. Amen. Praise God, praise God. And he called him to be the deliverer. And the children of Israel had been down in Egypt over 200 years. Some 215 years. And they had been times of being mistreated and tortured as slaves to the Egyptians. And they knew nothing about freedom, nothing about liberty, nothing about a better way of life. And the Bible says in the 7th through the 11th chapters of the book of Exodus that the God sent plagues upon the Egyptians because they would not let the people of God go. One of these days, folks, we're going to go.
Satan might try to bind us, hinder us, but there's coming a day when he'll have no power whatsoever. Amen. 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 And the Bible said that God sent plagues upon the Egyptians because of Pharaoh's refusal. Turned the water to blood. The lice in the land, frogs in the land, flies. Murrain in the cattle, boils upon the men and the beasts, hail and locusts and darkness. But with all of that, still Pharaoh would not let the people go. And the Bible says God told Moses one more judgment, one more plague. Then God began to outline what he wanted the children of Israel to do. And he instituted the Passover. I would like to share something right now that's, some people say that's coincidental. I believe that God knows all and he knows how to work things out. This morning I mentioned that no one knew at all what I was going to preach, no one but me. And yet the song that the choir had chosen to sing was Tell God that I accept the invitation, and I preached on invitations. Come and see. No one tonight knew what I was going to preach. And yet we've just sung about, what was the name of the last song? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm going to preach on the Passover right here. Isn't it amazing how God works? God outlined it all. Stay with me right now. God said to the people of Israel down in Egypt, in slavery, in bondage, tortured, crying out to God, God, deliver us. Deliver us. We're the seed of Abraham. We're the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Please, God, deliver us from the bondage of these Egyptians. And God heard their cry. And God said to Moses, tell the people when he went back to deliver. Tell the people on the 10th day of April. I want them to go and get them a lamb from the pen, from the flock. I want them to get a lamb of the first year. I want them to get a lamb that is without spot or blemish. I want them to bring that lamb up close to the house and pin it up. And for 4 days, I want you to keep that lamb. And on the 14th day of April, I want you to kill the lamb. I want you to put the blood in a basin. I want you to take hyssop and dip that hyssop in the blood. And I want you to strike it down the two side posts of the door and across the top of the door. A threefold application. I want you to put the blood on the door. And he said, and there's going to be the death angel pass through. I will pass through Egypt on this night, the 14th. And everywhere I see the blood, I will pass over. But where there is no blood, the death angel will come to that house. And the oldest child, the oldest, the firstborn, will be slain. And the oldest of the cattle will be slain in that household, in the belongings of that people. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Aren't you glad the blood has been applied to the doorposts of your heart? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the devil do what he can tonight, but our God is still in control, and he loves us. Hallelujah. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And on that night, he said, I want you to come inside. No one go outside the house. I want you to take that lamb and roast it. I want you to eat the lamb, and I want you to be prepared to leave. I want you to have your shoes on. I want you to have your coat on. I want you to be ready to walk out of here, because when that death angel passes over and there's death across Egypt and your lives have been spared, and you're going to march out of Egypt and God's going to give you a great deliverance. Listen to what I'm telling you tonight. One of these days there's going to be a great deliverance. We're going to march out of here. We're going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. In another chapter, and I want you to turn there. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, I want us to read verse number 24 through 27. And ye shall observe this thing, this Passover. For an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, when you get in the promised land, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep the service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what meaneth this? Or what mean ye with the service? Ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord, it's Passover. When passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, he says, when you get in the promised land, and you began to have this Passover feast every year in the promised land, and you obey my voice, you'll be able to tell your children and your grandchildren when they ask you, Daddy or Grandpa, or whoever it might be, when they said, what is this all about? What does all of this mean? You'll be able to tell them that this is the time, this represents the time when we marched out of Egypt with the high hand of God, and we were delivered by the Almighty, and God set us free. Hallelujah. You can tell them that when they ask, what does this mean? You can tell them. You've got something to tell them. Amen, amen. I went on further in the Bible. I came to the book of Deuteronomy. The story continues with the children of Israel. Turn there with me, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 6. They came out of Egypt, delivered by the high hand of God. Let me go back just a moment and share one other thing. After they got in the promised land, and their children and grandchildren and others would ask, what does all of this mean? They would tell them what God had done. They'd tell them of God's mercy and God's power. Listen to 9, if you will. It's been 3,500 years since the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt. And tonight, Orthodox Jewish parents gather their children around at Passover time and tell them of this great deliverance by Jehovah God that took place in Egypt when the Passover lamb passed over. But I leave this with you tonight. Orthodox Jews don't accept Jesus as the Messiah. But that lamb that was killed that night in each household, that lamb that was without spot or a blemish or anything about like that, represented the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sinless Redeemer. And I thank God that through Him and the blood that He poured out on Calvary, that you and I can be saved. I'm glad. Are you glad that you're saved tonight? Are you glad the blood has been applied? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When your children and grandchildren ask you, He said, when you get into the promised land, what is all of this about, Daddy? What is all of this about? Tell them the mercies of God. Then we come to the story continuing in the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. They've come out of Egypt. They've been delivered by the high hand of God. They've crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They've arrived at Mount Sinai, and God has given the 10 commandments to Moses. And when he comes down from the mountain, he shares them with the people, and the people said, we will obey, we will do what God says. And God said, if you will keep these commandments, I will bless you. I will give you victory over your enemies. I will take care of you. I will supply your every need. Let me leave this with you tonight. Those commandments are still in order for us tonight, and they're still real. And if we will obey God, God will bless, and God will give victory, and God will supply our needs, and God will take care. Do you believe that? Surely. It's still real. In the 20th verse, have your Bibles open to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. In that 20th verse, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and statutes and the judgments which the Lord thy God hath commanded you? Listen to these next words. And thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave that there for a moment now. He said, when you get over in that land, hallelujah, And you come into the land, and God is blessing you. And the people, when they see you there, the children ask these questions about the commandments and what have you. You can tell them how great God has been. And when they ask of all of what God has done, you can tell them how wonderful the Lord is. Not only did He bring you out of Egypt, but He brought you across the Red Sea on dry ground. He brought you through the wilderness, hallelujah, and fed you manna from heaven, and led you by a pillar of cloud in the daytime time and a pillar of fire by night. He fed you with manna out of heaven, and your shoes didn't wear out. God took care of you, brother, and is still taking care tonight. I've testified so many times. Sometimes I'm embarrassed, and sometimes I'll just tell it anyhow. We've been saved since 1955 in the month of February. Figure it out, that's 57 years. God has met every need of our lives. Every need of our lives. And my wife will vouch for what I'm telling you now. We have never, never, never had a bill when it came due that we didn't have money to pay. 57 years. Brother Jones, well, sometimes maybe I overlook something, but every time a bill came in, we had money to take care of it. God's a big God. And for 18 months after we moved back here from California, I preached revivals, and sometimes I didn't have revival. And yet God took care. Listen closely. When God called us into the ministry, He didn't say, this person over here will help you, and this person over here, and Tommy will help you, and Carl will help you. He didn't say that. He said, I'll take care. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and I cast thee away. Fear thou not. I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God said, Glenn, I'll take care of you. And I'm here to tell you, He does what He says. I might not wear Hart, Shapton, and Mark suits. I might not wear Johnny Carson suits, but He's taking care. Nothing wrong with J.C. Penney. Amen. We haven't always had the best food, but you can look at me and tell. I haven't missed many meals. God's been good. He said, when you get over there, and you're having this Passover, and your children are asking, you can tell them then, when you get over in the land, tell them about the Red Sea opening up. Tell them now, when you come to that sixth chapter in Deuteronomy, you find that some things have taken place. How that God has brought them all the way to the very borders of the promised land. They've arrived at Sinai. They've got the commandments and all of them. After all of these years, God's commandments are still true. And I go on tonight and I find the person who loves God will keep His commandments. I'll just leave this with you and I'll go to the third point. I one time thought, and I was raised in a holiness home, and I one time thought as a boy that you don't have to live that strict to be a Christian. I couldn't believe that God would require some things. Listen closely now. After selling out to God, I found out that God doesn't require anything that's too hard. Nothing. Anytime God has you to lay something aside, He's got something better for you. Some people say, Brother Jones, to serve God, to love God, to be in the Holy Church, you've got to give up too much. No, that's not it. You receive more. You keep on receiving, amen. He keeps on blessing. He keeps on anointing. He keeps on coming by and meeting our needs. Hallelujah. Now we say it's when you get over, when you come down, He's coming down to the end of His life. Moses is. And then when you come to the book of Joshua, turn there with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. It's in the next book. Joshua, chapter number 4. The story continues. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness has now come to an end. Moses and his brother Aaron have died. Joshua is the new leader, has been appointed by God. And again, let me say today about this church. I have prayed for some years now, and I know that God hears our prayers, and I believe that God's working things out. I have prayed for years, God, when comes my time to step down, whenever that is, and I am ready anytime you are, God. I'm not pushing you, God, but I am ready. I want to be obedient to God. I've been praying for years, God. Have the man ready to step in, the person to step in, to take the church and keep on till the Lord comes. And I know that God hears. I believe that God understands, and God's going to take care. Amen. What a Savior, what a mighty God. The Lord is in control. Now Moses is dead and Aaron is dead, and they come to the borders of the Jordan River, and the great host of the Israelites have arrived at the border of the Promised Land. When they're standing at the Jordan River, no bridge, no boat between 2 to 3 million people, and the waters are overflowing there. The boundaries. And the Bible says God makes a way. This is an important part of the sermon tonight. It didn't look like they would be able to get it. We've been across the Jordan. on the Allenby Bridge. Right there close to Jericho, going across, so it's not very wide, not very deep, but when they crossed that dime, the waters were overflowing, the boundaries way out there. And the Bible says in the book of Joshua, how that God told Joshua to tell the priest to take the ark and to go down to the waters and step into the waters. And as the priest with the ark got ready to step in the waters, the water rolled back. Let me tell you something. It didn't roll back like it did in the Red Sea. The waters just were cut off. Up the north of the Jordan River, north up the way, a city called Adam, God put His hand and made a dam in the Jordan River and stopped up the waters, and the waters ran across out yonder. But there was no more water running down the Jordan River, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Brother, God will make a way when there seems no way. He's a big God. They walked across, but now Joshua gives some commands in that fourth chapter. He said to the children of Israel, 12 tribes, I want each tribe to appoint a man. I want when the people have crossed over the Jordan, before the priests come up out of the Jordan, I want those 12 men of the 12 tribes of Israel, I want them to go down into the dry riverbed and each man get a stone. And I want him to put that stone in his shoulder and carry it out of the riverbed and take it to the other side of the Jordan River, over there close to Gilgal and Jericho. And I want those 12 men to erect a monument of 12 stones on the border of on the shores of the Jordan River. And he said, there's coming a time in the years to come, your children will be raised in the promised land. And your grandchildren will come along. And your great-grandchildren. And there'll come a time when they see these stones erected at Gilgal, a memorial. And they will say, what do these stones mean? What do they mean? And he said, you'll be able to tell them, when we came down to the Jordan, God opened the river. And we walked across on dry ground. Now, a lot of people have a hard time believing the miracles of God. Some people believe they walked in water ankle deep across the Red Sea. Some believe they were wading across the Jordan River. I believe that the Bible says dry. Brother, it was dry. I don't even believe they had mud on their shoes. Amen. God dried it up. And when your children down the line begin to ask you questions about what do these stones mean, you can tell them we came down to the Jordan and we had no way across, but God came on the scene and God took care of the way of the waters and we walked across on dry ground, and these stones are a memorial that our God can do anything. Our God will take care of us. He brought us out of that water, through that water, and these stones came out of the very riverbed when the waters were rolled back. We are serving a big God tonight. We are serving a God, He says, tell them when they ask. Tell them how big God is. How wonderful God is. How great is our God. Listen tonight. People need to hear how great He is. You can turn on CBN, TBN, and other religious broadcasts, and I am not against any of them. No doubt there's a lot of good that comes out of that. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of teaching on radio and TV, that's not of God. A lot of people have the idea that we don't need what they had in the first church. In the New Testament, brother, we need it as much as they did. I was asking our Sunday school class this morning about all the miracles that were taking place back then. Are they still relevant for today? Yes, sir. God is still the miracle worker. And let me say this tonight, we need miracles today just as much as they did. My wife and I have testified, and I've preached these years, how God is blessed and what God has done. It's just like that memorial stone. It's just like the Passover, when people ask about this and that, what we have seen, but that is not good enough for now. We can tell people how God blessed and how God ministered and what God did, how people were healed and how the Lord just came on the scene. Folks, we need to see it again today. We need it again. And in closing tonight, I'm going to come back to the second chapter of Acts. I've been to the third chapter of Genesis. I've been to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter of Joshua, and told the story. When you have the Passover, the people will ask and you can tell them how great God is. When you get in the new land, you can tell them what God has done, how great God is. When they see the stones, you can tell them what they mean, how great God is. And now before I start on the last point, the world doesn't need to hear about me and about Abundant Life and any other ministry. The world needs to hear about Him. Too often, I think the spotlight has been on ministers rather than on Him. On preachers rather than on the Lord. My God, help us, I pray, to keep our eyes focused on the goal. Hallelujah. In that 2nd chapter, and I'll not be long here, 2nd chapter of the book of Acts, in closing tonight, I find in that 2nd chapter, it was Sunday. It was the feast of Pentecost. The Passover lamb had been crucified on the cross. He had poured out His life's blood for the sins of the world. He had been buried in a borrowed tomb and He arose again. Hallelujah. The grave was unable to hold Him, and He's the first fruit of the first resurrection. And I thank God. He ascended into heaven, and the Bible says now the believers have assembled themselves in the upper room in Jerusalem, and they were in one accord, and they were worshiping and praising and magnifying God. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues like as a fire came and sat upon each of them. And the Bible says, and they all received the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And that people around about were confounded. They were amazed. They say, we hear them speaking in the old language that we were born with, and they're speaking of the mighty works of God and the wonderful works of God. And they came to Peter and said, what meaneth this? What is this all about? And Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. God said He would do it. God has done it. And this is proof what God says He will bring to pass. What meaneth this? What meaneth this? And Peter was able to give the answer. When people ask the question, what does this mean? We're able to point them to Jesus. How does anybody, right after we've mentioned this, how right after Mike was healed of a brain tumor? My wife was out visiting and knocking on doors, and some people came to her of a cult, and they said, God doesn't heal today. She said, you've come too late. He just healed my son. Thank God, thank God. Listen, people can tell you as long as they want to, there's no healing, but if you've been healed, if you felt the touch of the Master, it makes all the difference. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I told you about Sarah Summerland. They came to our church, a backslider. Her husband had been a Assemblies of God preacher and went back on God. And she was going back into sin. She came to church one Sunday night in Sierra Vista, Arizona. She came around to the front and she said, Brother Jones, I'd like you to pray for me. I said, what's wrong? She said, I've got cancer of the womb. Would you pray for me? I said, are you saved? She said, I have been saved. I said, would you like to be saved? She began to pray and asked God to forgive her. And she came, the Lord came back into her heart. We prayed for her and God healed her. She went to the doctor in Douglas, Arizona. They set her up for surgery. And when she went and she was on welfare, her husband had left her. And when she went, she told him, I was healed, I was healed. But they knew that she had cancer. They checked anyhow. They had to do some exploratory. We don't believe it. But when they began to check, they found out the cancer was gone. We're serving a big God. He's able to do all things. I expected my wife to come to church this morning. Although she was lying down and unable to come when I came, she said, if I get the feeling better, I'll just drive. I was looking for her. She didn't make it. But thank God she's here tonight. Because God comes by. She still needs a touch in her body. But God's a big God. What God has begun, He's able to do. He's able to complete. I finish tonight. Jesus said when they were gathered together at Caesarea Philippi, He told his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he arose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and he sent the Spirit of the Almighty God. And the church is off to a wonderful start, and 3,000 are saved. Because the people asked, what does this mean? And Peter began to tell them what it meant. It means that you crucified the Son of God. You crucified the Messiah. You crucified the one that came to save and to get you out of sin. You crucified the one that loved you more than any other one. You crucified him, but he still loves you. And if you repent, he'll save you. And that day 3,000 were saved. Listen, when they said, what does it mean? Peter was able to tell them how good God is. You want to know how to answer people? Tell them how good God is. When they ask you a question, tell them what God has done in your life. Tell them how God has changed your life. Tell the people how God has delivered you. I am not proud of the way that I was living before I got saved, but I was bound. I was bound by some things. I was bound by the habit of gambling. But the day that I got, night that I got saved, God delivered me. I've never played another game of cards in my life since February of 1955. God delivered. And I leave this tonight and I close. When they ask, what does this mean? What does all of this mean? Tell them about Him. That's the answer. What does healing mean? It means that He's alive. That He paid the price. What is salvation all about? It means that Jesus died for us, for our sins, and now He's washed our sins away. What does it mean to live a holy life? It means victory in Jesus. What does it mean for the Holy Ghost to be real? It means that the Lord has ascended to heaven and said the promise of the Comforter has come. What does it mean? It means that God loves us and we're on our way to glory. What does it mean, preacher? What does it mean, church member? What does it mean how you live? It means that Jesus is alive. What a Savior. What a mighty God. What meaneth this? Come on to the piano, honey. What meaneth this? What does this mean? I remember a long time ago in our first pastorate. When we arrived in the town, there was one full gospel church, the Church of God. And it was struggling, having a difficulty. And we did not have a permanent building. We were worshiping in a community building, and we only had it on Sundays, and so we couldn't have a revival. We had no building. And so the Church of God preacher came to me, and we were talking together, and he said, why don't we have a joint revival? And we can have it in my church, and I'll be in charge one night, and you'll be in charge the next night, and our people will come together, and those that will accept Christ, and if we can win anyone to the Lord in the town, we will share with them what God has done and let them make the choice wherever they want to go to church. And we did. And I was talking to him. He had an odd name. His name was Brother Oplinger. And I was talking to him, and he was mentioning a sermon that he just preached then. It was, what mean ye by these stones? What do these stones mean? And tonight I have tried to, I don't know anything that he preached on his sermon, but and I wasn't there, but I tried to preach. What does it mean? It means that our God's alive. We're going to sing, honey, because He lives. Because He lives.